Thank you for joining me on the Tower Frequency. My name is Piper Lewis, here at Devil's Tower, courtesy of GeoCore and the Geological Society of America. Today, we're going to be sharing the passion for climbing that brings many travelers from around the world to Devil's Tower. Today, we are joined by four people who have worked as rangers at Devil's Tower, including Ray Brassington.
My name is Will Buckman. I'm a fourth season climbing ranger here at Devil's Tower National Monument.
My name is Sean Nelb. I worked as a climbing ranger, as a law enforcement ranger here at Devil's Tower National Monument.
My name's Chris Klinger. I was a seasonal ranger at Devil's Tower, and I got hired again for a term position in 2011 through 2013.
We are also joined by two other climbers who share with us their expertise and experience climbing Devil's Tower.
My name is Juliana Bird. I first came to the tower on a regular tourist visit, met Frank Sanders, then was hostess at his lodge for a number of years, ended up buying property up the road and starting my own campground.
Conrad Anker, here with Piper, National Park Service, Devil's Tower blog.
Since before Devil's Tower became America's first national monument, early settlers and outdoors enthusiasts have found the tower a motivating challenge. Conrad Anker tells us more about this climbing history.
The history of climbing at Devil's Tower goes back to 1893, when a couple of cowboy rancher guys hammered oak stakes all the way up the side of it and made a ladder. But the first ascent in 1937 was by Fritz Weissner, and he basically climbed it with one or two protection points, and it was a really bold climb. And since then, there's been a lot of subsequent ascents, and it was probably in the mid-80s that the apex of difficult climbing at Devil's Tower took place, and then climbing found bolts and overhanging stuff, so it was really quite different. But if you're looking for a climbing experience that is meaningful, that connects on a spiritual level, and has this remarkable beauty, then Devil's Tower could just be the place for you.
Today, over 5,000 people a year climb the tower, pitting their passion and excitement against the tower's steep challenge. The first summoners of the tower were William Rogers and Willard Ripley. In 1895, Linnie Rogers, William Rogers' wife, became the first woman to summit the tower using her husband's stake ladder. Linnie Rogers and her husband and William Ripley weren't the only ones to use the ladder to summit the tower. The ladder remained on the tower for several years after, and there were reports even of teenage boys reaching the summit. The lower parts of the ladder were eventually removed due to safety concerns. In 1937, Fritz Weissner, a German mountaineer, became the first to summit the tower without using the stake ladder. Instead, he used modern mountaineering techniques, including his own handmade pitons. In 1938, the year following Weissner, Jack Durrance pioneered the Durrance route. This route was destined to become a classic and is now one of the most popular routes at Devil's Tower. In 1941, George Hopkins became the first man to reach the tower without climbing. Will Buckman shares more about this event.
As far as historically, one of the coolest stories here at the tower, like everybody's always concerned, you know, how do you climb to the top? Well, in 1941, there was a guy who said, I can parachute on the top and then just rappel down. His name was George Hopkins. He did this in October of 41. He was stuck on the summit for 6 days as he was unable to self-rescue. They had to get climbers from the Tetons, from Rocky Mountain National Park, even first ascensionists of the Durrance route of Devil's Tower, like one of our most famous routes in 1938 when he climbed it. 1941, they had to bring him back to climb up his route, to bring him, Paul Petzl from the Tetons, and some others to go get George Hopkins. Hopkins spent, like I said, 6 days up there, and by the time he was done, he'd gained almost 10 pounds from all the airdrops that he got of supplies and food. It was the biggest story around the world until December of 41, which was when Pearl Harbor happened. But it's just kind of a neat story. It just got fanfare all over the place, even kind of overshadowed the World Series that Devil's Tower George was stranded on the top of this rock.
In In 1952, Jan Kahn and Jane Schoeker became the first all-female team to summit the tower. Jan Kahn had previously gone up the tower with her husband Herb, and upon their descent, her husband had been asked if he had to haul her up. Jan was determined to climb the tower and show with her own skill that women were just as competent climbers as men. There are a lot of things to think about before climbing at Devil's Tower. Our guests have important advice to share. Ray Brassington will start us off.
The advice I give to most people that are just starting out on the tower is bring lots of gear. The pitches are long and sustained most of the time. And to make sure that when you're rappelling down that you go off the faces of the columns so that you don't get a stuck rope.
Will advises,
definitely be prepared, even though it's really accessible from the road. You want to be aware that weather moves in fast. You got to treat it almost like a mountainous weather terrain. Just the nature of where it comes from, sometimes the rock can block that off, and the weather is the number one factor. Always bring two ropes. One rope is just going to get you in trouble, and bring as much gear as you have because different routes require different things and they're long pitches.
Conrad's advice is,
if you're interested in climbing Devil's Tower, make the drive out here, visit beautiful Crook County, Wyoming, check in with the rangers, register before you go up on the climb so you know where you're at and they can count how many people are up there climbing, so that's a really key part of it. And then be prepared. It's adventurous climbing, it's traditional climbing. You'll be placing your own gear, and skills like fist cracks, off-wits, are all very much required here. You're not going to get to the top without being able to climb some sort of wide crack, so have the appropriate equipment and protection, and make sure that you're well within your ability.
Sean advises,
to not underestimate the length of the pitches. Climbing at the tower, most of the pitches are going to be pretty close to 50 meters or so, especially if you're not climbing the Durance, which has the short pitches. But everything else, the pitches tend to be fairly long, and they look a lot shorter when you're looking at them from the base and looking up. And I saw a lot of people running out of gear because they didn't bring enough or were placing it too close together, thinking that they had plenty to get up to the anchors or to a ledge or whatever. And then they would just run out, or they just wouldn't have the strength to complete the pitch because they had just run out of juice basically before they were able to get to the anchor, not realizing how long it is.
Chris Klinger advises,
respect the tower. There's a lot of people who value the tower for a lot of different reasons and a very long history of climbing there. Very important and memorable climbs that have been done there. To climb the tower with respect for what it means to a lot of people. The routes are long, sustained, usually pretty physically demanding. In a lot of places in the country, a route is rated a 5-10 for two or three of the moves or a section or two on that route. But usually at the tower, the routes are very sustained. If it's a 5-10, it could be a 5-10 for the entire length of the route. So I'd be prepared for, you know, long sustained routes.
Juliana Bird's advice is,
plan, read, get the guidebooks, check the beta. And if you're coming in the middle of the summer, be aware it's hot and it's dry. And if you're coming in the shoulder season, be aware we get snow, we get cold. Always, always, always check the batteries in your headlamp and make sure your headlamp is in your climbing pack, not left in your car. That's my primary bit of advice.
In the spring, there are closures for prairie and peregrine falcon nesting. Be sure to check in at climbing registration to make sure the route you wish to take is open. In June, there's a voluntary closure in respect for the Native Americans who worship here at the tower during that time. Every climb on Devil's Tower is unique, but first climbs stand out strongly in many climbers' minds. Conrad Anker talks about his first experience climbing Devil's Tower.
Well, my first climb of the Devil's Tower was in the 80s, and we came here, and climbed it, and it was about making it to the summit. And subsequent visits to Devil's Tower, I've sought out more difficult routes and routes that have that characteristic nature of Devil's Tower, which are the cracks and the stemming.
Will Buckman found climbing Devil's Tower for the first time, a life-changing experience.
So I grew up here in Crook County, half hour away from Devil's Tower. First day I climbed this was September 22nd, 2001. I'll remember that day because it kind of just changed the direction of my life. I was going to college, had a friend of mine whose dad took people climbing and said, hey, would you like to join us to go climb behind Mount Rushmore? That went good. He said, let's go climb Devil's Tower in a few weeks. Went up with five other people. We were the typical go up endurance route with dragging bags and a bunch of people just congesting everything. But it was done in about 8 magical hours. I was also the guy with the t-shirt at the very end that said, I climbed Devil's Tower even before I hit the tower trail.
Ray Brassington shares about his experience climbing Devil's Tower for the first time.
The first time I climbed a tower, it was pretty great. It was getting up, it was just doing one of the short routes, and even though it was a short route, with the way the routes start on the tower, it's still several hundred feet up, so got some great exposure.
Juliana Bird had a powerful first experience on the tower.
We were climbing with a group of middle school students. I'm a chaperone, so I went later in the day. Climbing shoes made a tremendous difference, and so I reached the bolts on the broken tree, little crack that's a great starter. And I'm coming back down. Frank was belaying me, and he stops me. He says, I want you to go over the left. And I said, I'm ready to come down. And it ended up with me stumping my foot and saying, fine. So I did. I went over to the left, and I did what he had asked me to do. What had happened for me is I have multiple sclerosis, and I had lost conscious communication with the lower part of my body. And I was ready to come down. I challenged myself as much as I felt physically able to do. And being pushed that little bit further, ever so insistently and gently, had broken through a block in my brain. And when I came back down, I looked at Frank, and I said, I have two things I'd like to say to you. And you could see his face just sort of blanch because he could tell I was angry. I said, the first thing is that I have multiple sclerosis, and if I tell you I'm done, I meant that I was done. And I said, the second thing that I want to say is thank you. And it was a huge shift in the course that the disorder was taking.
Chris Klinger shares about his first experience climbing the tower.
I never dreamed of climbing the tower. I always thought that that was something that was outside of my abilities. That was something that all the hardcore climbers did. But my friends saw an article in Climbing Magazine about Devil's Tower, and I was working for the Park Service in Dinosaur, Colorado at the time. They convinced me that I needed to get a job at Devil's Tower so they could all come out and visit and go climbing. So I did get to Devil's Tower. I had a plan. You know, it would probably take me a couple weeks or maybe a month or two to really get in shape and learn the routes. Plus, the season started in towards the end of May. We're not supposed to climb in June for the voluntary climbing closure, which I wanted to respect. So I figured May, I would just check out the tower, appreciate it, and then June, I wouldn't be climbing, and then probably by July, I'll start learning the routes and getting into shape, and maybe by August or September, you know, get a couple of shorter routes in, and then by the end of the season, I would make it to the top of Devil's Tower. When I was working in the visitor center, a very colorful local climber would come in every day after climbing and convinced me that I should just go do it now. Every day in May, same guy came back telling me, I need to go do it now, I need to go do it now. And every day offering to take me up, and I thought, oh, this guy's crazy, I can't do this. And so the last day of May, he finally convinced me at 5 p.m. that we could be on the summit and back down and having dinner before the sun sets, which I thought was never possible. But from the time we touched the base of the tower to we reached the summit was just a little over an hour. So we managed to go car to car in less than 3 hours. And I stood on the summit of Devil's Tower, and I was back at his place having dinner with him that night, just looking up at the tower. I was just in awe. Cloud 9. So amazed. at making it to the summit of Devil's Tower, because in reality it's a pretty small club for the number of people who have stood on top of Devil's Tower. Of all the billions of people in the world, maybe 50, 60,000 people have stood on the summit of Devil's Tower, so it's a pretty small group to be part of. So that first experience of just making it to the top really inspired me to do more as far as climbing went. You know, it increased my self-confidence. And the next summer, I had bigger and better goals, and a lot of them turned out to be failures. I would go attempt a route, and I didn't succeed at it. And in that last week, I just went after every route that I had failed on that summer. I succeeded all of them, and I felt like I had grown so much as a climber in the last 2 years to be able to do those routes that I went home for the winter feeling very pleased with my time at the tower.
Conrad Anker understands why so many people come back to Devil's Tower. It's an exciting place to climb.
The excitement of Devil's Tower, the adventure of Devil's Tower, is that it's a traditional climbing area. A lot of climbing areas are bolt protected. That's masonry fastening devices that we put into the climb, and we create where the path goes by putting the bolts in there. And it's great, it's good athleticism. But here there's something that you connect with on a deeper level. You're climbing these cracks that are millions of years old, and the cracks dictate the protection that you have. So it might be a little bit run out, or it might be gear every few inches, but it makes it unique.
Will Buckman shares why so many visitors are excited to come climb Devil's Tower.
This place is just special. The unique factor of where it's located, kind of in the middle of nowhere, along with what type of climbing it represents, really long, sustained, traditional pitches, just puts this in a classic category of some place that you can really get good climbing experience at all grade levels.
Sean Nelb shares why he particularly likes climbing the tower.
I think I like mostly the tower for all the finger cracks it had. I like finger cracks a lot. It was a really good climbing area for that. There's lots of cracks, especially on the west face, just one after another. You could go up there and have a really good day of climbing on some fairly sustained routes.
Ray Brassington shares why he loves climbing Devil's Tower.
The challenge, the overcoming the different types of technique that's used here, a lot of it's new to me, so using that technique has been great.
Juliana Bird shares about what makes the tower such a unique climbing experience.
One of the things that makes it incomparable is the variety of climbs that can be done and the learning opportunities available in a tremendously safe environment. What I really like about climbing on the tower is that the approaches are not easy. You have to intend to get to one of the climbs. You don't just stumble on the climb. And so it's, the formation of intent and the opportunity to explore the consequences of that intent. Because even going up for something as simple as climbing a broken tree and new wave, it's strenuous. Even if you want to just play around, by the time you get up there, you will have to have checked in with your body, paid attention to the weather, been aware of your water and food intake, and of course the people around you and the animals. You know, you're paying attention to where are the falcons today. For me personally, the opportunity to check in with what's my intent? Because it's easy in other places to just fool around and therefore get careless and hurt yourself. It's much harder to get careless on the tower because there are so many opportunities along the way where it's almost again as if the spirit of the tower is checking in and saying, be mindful.
Chris Klinger shares why he feels Devil's Tower is such a great place to climb.
Devil's Tower is a really good place to climb for the quality of the rock and the long sustained crack routes. It's one of the few places in the world you get such perfect cracks. Devil's Tower is kind of the ultimate teacher because the tower doesn't bring itself down to your level. You need to bring yourself up to the level of the challenge that is the tower. So it forces you in the most positive way to improve your skills and become a better climber. And that goes for climbers of all ability levels. Even the best of the climbers can go to Devil's Tower and find something that challenges them and makes them grow, not only as a climber, but as a person.
Today, there are over 225 definable routes. Routes are named by those who first climbed them. Some of our guests share about their favorite routes and routes they would recommend to other climbers. Chris Klinger starts us off.
I really enjoy Walt Bailey Memorial. That is definitely one of my favorite routes. If you do it right, you can be on the summit by leading only one technical pitch. There's some scrambling to get to the base, and then a very long, sustained 5-9, maybe a 10A, that goes up to the meadows. And then from the meadows, you can do the fourth class route to the summit. So you really can summit on the tower with one long pitch. It's probably about 180 feet. The crack is just, I think, one of the finest cracks for climbing on the tower that's not at a super difficult rating. I do like the Durance route also because it is very attainable for, I don't want to say beginner climbers, I don't think it's that great for beginners, but some experience, climbers with some experience can do the Durance route. It has short pitches and is pretty manageable.
Juliana Bird shares what she loves to climb.
They all depend on what you want to do. If you want a day of playing on a jungle gym, go to the North End. The Broken Tree, New Wave, Leaping Lizards, Mystic and the Mulchers, there's a whole array of things to do there. If you want to challenge yourself a little more or you're a more experienced climber, there's also patent pending up to Teacher's Lounge there. You can really familiarize yourself with the rappels, and a long rappel is so beautiful off of Teacher's Lounge. So for me, that's where I go. I go play on Teacher's Lounge. And my favorite, if I'm going to summit with somebody else, because I can't lead it, is El Craco Diablo. I love it because it's left side in, right side high, do it again. And it goes that way all the way up. It's two clean pitches. There's one hard move. It's a slight hump up and over. But then there's a scramble to the summit, and you're there. It's just fun. But the other fun ones to play on are first pitch of El Matador. That's just a stroll. Okay, it's the 5-10 move at the top to get to the bolts. That's a problem if you're not a 5-10 climber because it comes at the very end and sneaks up on you and is a surprise. But if you can get the rope up there and top rope it, it's another fun place just to play. Up on top, like there's Rangers or People 2, that was a fun one. But if you're out there to be doing some serious climbing, the things I've heard are McCarthy's North is awesome. Mr. Clean is incredible. Hollywood and Vine. I don't think there's a bad route.
The fastest climb on record is held by Todd Skinner, who reached the top in 18 minutes and returned to the ground in 11. He is also the only one on record to have soloed the southeast side of the tower. We'll end today by having some of our guests answer frequently asked questions about climbing at Devil's Tower. After working as a climbing ranger at Devil's Tower, Sean Nelb says,
"The most frequently asked question was, do I need two ropes to get down? And the answer is yes. For most of the routes, you'll need two ropes to rappel off because of how long the pitches are."
Juliana also had to answer a lot of questions working as Frank Sanders' hostess and then working at her own campground.
What's the easiest route to climb? And most people think because the guidebook says Durance is a 5-7 or something that it's the easiest, and it's not. Another thing was, we think we're going to head out for Durance around 9 o'clock in the morning. It's a solar collector. You're going to roast at 1 o'clock when you're stuck. Get an early starter, late afternoon starter. There are other people here who want to do the same thing you want to do, and you will have to wait. There's a reason it's called lunchtime. Everybody comes at the same time. If you don't want to wait, come at 11 or 3, you know. People always ask, how old do you have to be to climb? And there have been people as young as 7 who have summited and people as old as 80. There's no age. The only thing you need to climb that tower is a desire.
As a ranger, Chris Klinger answered questions not just from climbers, but also about climbers.
Well, visitors always had amusing questions like, how do they get their ropes up there? Which, of course, the climbers need to lead the route and take the rope up there themselves. The Park Service doesn't do that for them. A lot of questions from climbers were just asking some typical information on which routes to climb and what gear to take and where the rappel stations are. I think it's important for them to read the guidebooks, talk to local climbers, and get as much information on the route as they can.
Thank you for joining me for our experience of the passion for climbing at Devil's Tower National Monument. As always, my name is Piper Lewis, podcasting the tower frequency for you courtesy of GeoCorps and the National Park Service. For more information on Devil's Tower, please see our website, www.nps.gov/DETO. Our theme music was composed by Ben Sound and can be found at bensound.com. Thank you for listening.